Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne, and in today's episode, a couple of stories about riddles. I remember, I think, the first riddle I ever heard. My dad told it to me. He said, "A box without hinges, a key, or a lid, but golden treasure inside is hid." We were driving in a car somewhere, and I hadn't read The Hobbit yet, so I didn't recognize that famous riddle from the competition between Bilbo Baggins and Gollum in the dark beneath the Goblin Mountain. Took me a long time to guess the answer, and kind of a fun conversation with my dad as he led me there. You know that one? I'm not about to spoil it for you if you haven't read The Hobbit. Better get on down to the library. But I asked the Appleseed team if they knew any good riddles, and Wendy Folsom, our producer, knew this one. A riddle goes like this: "I can bring peace or strife and build a world from just a breath. I am fragile, yet can outlast life, and I'm stronger than the fear of death. Who am I?" Well, maybe I'll give you the answer to that one later on, but not before a couple of stories with riddles in them. The first is about a queen who finds herself stumped by a peculiar gift. Will she figure out the riddle of the gift? Here's Debs Newbold with a story called The Queen and the Three Dolls.
There was another queen, a queen of a kingdom that was like a carnival every day. This queen, she was very happy, jolly, human. She loved parties, she loved puzzles, she loved riddles, she loved all of the frivolous and fun things in life, as well as being a good leader. She balanced the two. She kept the kingdom in balance by invoking both the joy and the seriousness of her station. But she really loved puzzles and riddles and puddles. She was a queen in England. Sudoku, she loved it. Crosswords, brilliant. Word searches, oh, she could lose a whole weekend on those. One day, there was a knock at her castle door and a box got delivered, a beautiful box. And it had a note that this was for the queen. And it was brought before the queen by two very, very happy guards. Like everybody, the whole kingdom was colourful. And these guards were too. Their eyes sparkled iridescent with joy because they knew that the queen would love this, because the note on the top said, "Your Majesty, a riddle for thee. Can you tell the difference between these three?" "What three? What's in the box? Ah, exciting." They put it in front of the queen. She, here we go, opened the box. And there, under lots of multicoloured packaging, she found three exquisite dolls. Beautiful dolls. Carved from wood. Finest English boxwood. And the craftspersonship on these dolls was... you couldn't see where the carpenter's chisel had been. You couldn't see a brushstroke in the painting of these dolls. It was smooth and gorgeous. And all three dolls were dressed in blue, and all three dolls had a red belt at their waist, and all three dolls had bright gold hair. And all three dolls had these fine features. And in the features, they had beautifully rendered eyes, but also little delicate holes for the ears, the nose and the mouth, as though the dolls could hear and smell and see and taste. Of course, they were just inanimate dolls, but they were utterly identical. But the riddle asked, "Can you tell the difference?" The queen thought this was wonderful. She settled down into her comfiest throne. And she had the dolls set on a table in front of her, and she looked them up and she looked them down and she looked them round and round and round. And do you think she could find a difference? No. But the queen was not to be deterred by this. She liked a challenge. So she took them with her to dinner and had them laid out with the cruet on the table as she ate her goose soup or whatever queens eat. I don't know. And she looked these dolls all the way over. She could not find anything. And then she took them when she had her bath, her royal bath. She had them lined up by the taps. And as the soap suds, gurgled and popped about her, oh, lovely, she took the dolls and she turned them over and she was looking for a scratch, a brushstroke, anything, nothing. She could find no difference. Next day was the same. By the third day, she was starting to get a little bit bored. You do, don't you? You know, when you've got homework that's really hard to do. You know, or a programme you've seen a million times. It's a bit like that. But she kept at it. She started to neglect her word searches in a Sudoku. No crosswords crossed the threshold for a few days. And by the end of a week, the Queen had taken these dolls to bed with her every night, but she was not sleeping now. She was becoming a little bit too fixated on these dolls, a bit too driven by the quest to find the difference between them. And as she did so, her spirits dropped. And as her spirits dropped, her ability to maintain the balance in her life and in the kingdom started to waver. And the colour began to drain not only from the Queen's face and long hair, but also the kingdom. Because this kind of thing is infectious, you know. Suddenly this colourful place started to take on a drab look as the neglect spread. It was sad. Well, the Queen thought to herself, look, I really need to do something about this. I need some help. So she called in her wise man. And her wise man, he glid in a marinade of self-satisfaction. He said, can I help you, Your Majesty? Yes, yes. A riddle for me. I need to tell the difference betwixt these three. Can you use your wisdom? What's the difference between these three dolls? Okay. He lined them up in a private room. He looked them up, he looked them down, he looked them round and round and round. He couldn't see any difference. He thought, oh dear, not living up to my name here. He centred himself. He came back, he looked again, he saw no difference. And now he began to think, oh dear, I'm going to get sacked. I can't, these are identical. This is a hoax. So he went up to the Queen and he said, I think there is a difference, Your Majesty, but my wisdom tells me that it is important that you seek it out. And he oozed out of the room. All right, if my wise man can't help me, thinks the Queen, I'm going to invite my fool. So she brought the fool in, and the fool came loping in his jester's outfit. He was the only one that was still a little bit colourful, because that's the fool's job, isn't it? He comes in, bells jangling, what do you want me to do? Riddle, difference, these three dolls. All right. He takes the dolls, and he looks at them, and he thinks, oh, he starts juggling with them. He starts to do Mel's mess with them. That's a juggling trick that my husband can do. I don't know why I've just said that, but you know. It's what you get when there's no script. Mel's mess. It looks like that. It's very impressive. And then suddenly he sees a butterfly and he drops them and he goes off. Because that's what fools do, you know? They get distracted by things. That's their job. And now the Queen really feels like she's got no chance. There's no way that she can tell the difference between these dolls. She takes them into her room, shuts the door and spends time by herself. And the kingdom starts to fall into real ruin. And everyone is sad. And then one day, a visitor comes to the kingdom. A storyteller, actually. We're travelling types. This storyteller has come to this kingdom because she's heard that it is a place of joy and jocularity, of colour, of riddles. She thinks, I'll be in my oil tot here. This is going to be a brilliant place to be. But when she enters the kingdom, it's grey and drab and gives meaning, new meaning to the word. And she's quite surprised. And she walks up the street, she gets talking to somebody and she says, I thought this was a really happy place. And the person said, well, it was a great place to live, but you know, the queen. And this person goes on to explain to the storyteller what the problem is, the riddle of the dolls. And the storyteller thinks, I think I can help here. So she goes up to the castle, she presents herself in front of the guards. They take her in, they're desperate, they'll have anybody to help now. She's brought before the Queen and the Queen is sitting on her throne like this. Long, straight hair, like two curtains of disappointment, closing her face off from the world. Your Majesty, I'm a visitor here, I'm a storyteller and I think I can help you with your riddle. They're over there. The dolls are brought before the storyteller and without thinking twice, she can see what needs to be done. She says to the Queen, I will need your help and assistance in this. I can't do it by myself. A storyteller can't. So could you join me? Can I have 3 hairs from your head? Oh, I don't care. Take anything you want. And she plucks 3 long hairs from the Queen's head. Ah, says the Queen, I didn't expect you to do that. Well, this is going to help you, Your Majesty. Okay, she sets the 3 hairs down. She picks up the first doll. Remember I said there were delicate holes for the eyes, so the nose, the ears, and the mouth? Well, the storyteller takes one of these hairs and she takes a doll and she passes the hair in to the right ear hole, the right lug hole, as we say in England, of the doll. And she passes it in and in and in, and what do you know? Whoosh, comes out the other side. She puts it down. She puts the hair down. The guards think, oh, we've got a live one here. Should never have let her in. The Queen, however, is intrigued. Storyteller picks up the second doll, second hair, passes it into the ear of the doll, the right lug hole. It goes in, it goes in, it goes in, but it doesn't reappear out of the other side. She seems unperturbed by this and puts it down. The guards think, is that a mistake? But very confidently, the storyteller picks up the final doll, takes the final hair, passes it in through the ear, in. And this time, the hair does not emerge from the other ear, but it does emerge. It emerges out of the hole at the doll's mouth. And when it comes out, although it went in straight, comes out like this. Now the Queen is intrigued. Well, she says. Oh, well, that's it, says the storyteller. What? Well, that's it, Your Majesty. That's the difference between the 3. I'll explain. The first doll, the hair that went in and came out the other side, that doll, Your Majesty, is your fool. Because what your fool hears, the fool does not retain. It's the fool's job to let it go. In one ear, out the other. Second doll, where the hair went in and didn't come out the other side. Well, that's your wise man or woman. Equal opportunities. Because what your wise man or woman hears and takes in quite often, their vanity bids them keep it inside. Sometimes their wisdom, but more often than not, it's the former. Your third doll, however, where the hair went in to the ear and came out of the mouth. Do you know what that doll is? Can you guess? And the Queen thought she probably could. What do you think the Queen guessed? Yeah. That doll is the storyteller. Because what a storyteller hears does stay in there for a little while, but it always has to come out. And it comes out with words. It comes out of the mouth. There you go. Whoa, 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 says the Queen. Hang on a minute, though. What? But the hair, it went in straight, it came out curly. How'd you explain that? Easy, said the storyteller. What a storyteller hears when it comes out of their mouth, they tell it, not as they heard it, but with a twist. Oh, said the Queen. And the colour started to flush her cheeks again. Her eyes became a little bit more of their old iridescent self. This is wonderful. I can feel the life coming back to me. You've freed me from this. This is wondrous. And also, you're very interesting. Would you like to stay and be my mate? Come on, we can have tea. We can. Oh, I've got a whole pile of crosswords and Sudoku puzzles we could do. And Sudoku puddles also that we could trip through. We are in England after all. And the storyteller tossed her curly hair over her blue-clad shoulder and she said, yeah, I would actually love to stay, but I've got a storytelling festival in Utah to be at. So I'm afraid I'll have to take a rain check on that, Your Puddly Majesty. And off she loped through the streets of a kingdom that was now as colourful and jolly as ever it was before. Thank you.
That was Debs Newbold with The Queen and the 3 Dolls. Listening to a story about riddles makes me think of my Uncle Mike, my mom's little brother. He didn't tell me the first riddle I ever heard, but he told me a good one. My Uncle Mike was, for me, the wisest, coolest grown-up I knew. I didn't see him very often. We lived in Utah. He lived in faraway California, where he played in rock bands. And sometimes on holiday trips, we'd stay at my grandparents' house, and Uncle Mike would come over and practice for gigs. He'd set up his amp in the living room and play his electric guitar for his star-struck nephews. My grandparents had a swimming pool. Sometimes Uncle Mike would pick us up and throw us out over the pool in our swimming suits, of course. We'd fly and scream and fall and splash. It was the greatest to be small enough to be thrown out over a swimming pool by somebody big. That's the best. And he gave me the only nickname I ever had that wasn't Champagne. That was the nickname a kid named Sam Payne had in elementary school. But Uncle Mike called me Samwise, like Frodo Baggins' faithful friend. I love that nickname. And Uncle Mike told me the riddle of the Sphinx, the magical guardian of Thebes who killed anyone who couldn't solve the riddle, which means everyone died until Oedipus solved it, ending the Sphinx who threw herself off a cliff. And Uncle Mike told me the riddle, but he also told me all that stuff about Thebes and the Sphinx and Oedipus. And hearing that from Uncle Mike, it was better than the best movie. And learning the riddle, well, I felt like I belonged to a cool club that not very many people belong to, but which Uncle Mike belonged to, the coolest of all people. Of course, a lot of people belong to the club of the people who know the riddle of the Sphinx. My Uncle Mike passed on just a few years ago, and when he did, my memory gave all that back to me. It's still giving it back to me. And what's the riddle of the Sphinx, you ask? Well, what walks on 4 feet in the morning, 2 feet in the afternoon, and 3 feet at night? And what's the answer? Well, I bet you can figure it out. And that's where Deb's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? Our next story is about a clever son who outwits a greedy moneylender by setting a trap with riddles. The story comes from Alton Takeyama Chung, and it's called The Fly.
Once upon a time, there was a moneylender. Oh, he was such a mean man. I mean, he loved going out money, loaning money to people. But the thing he loved the most was collecting the money with interest afterwards. Oh, and today was no exception. He had loaned some money to a young couple. And today was the day he could collect on it. Well, he went to their house, but they weren't home. I mean, all there was a little boy playing with sticks and stones in the dirt.
Young man, where are your parents?
The little boy just totally ignored him.
Young man, do you know, I am an important person. You must tell me, where are your parents?
Boy just ignored him, just kept playing with his sticks and stones.
Young man, your parents, they owe me money. They must pay today.
Finally, the boy looked up and said, my father is chopping down live trees and planting dead ones. And my mother, she's selling the wind to buy the moon.
What? Well, speak plainly, boy.
I told you. My father is chopping down live trees and planting dead ones. And my mother is selling the wind to buy the moon.
Riddles. The old man loved riddles. What he hated the most was not being able to figure them out. Okay, but tell me the meaning of your riddles, and I'll forgive the debt. Your parents will owe me nothing.
No. I'm a young boy. You're a wily old man. You're going to treat me.
No, I'm not going to treat you. I'll never treat you.
Oh, yes, you will.
No. Trust me.
No. We must have a witness.
Witness. That fly in the wall of your house. That fly will be our witness.
The boy looked at the old man. He looked at the fly, looked back at the old man, said, okay, that fly will be our witness. I told you that my father is cutting down live trees and planting dead ones. He's down the road helping a neighbor build a fence. He's cutting down live trees and planting dead ones.
Oh, very clever boy. No, tell me, where is your mother?
I told you that my mother is selling the wind to buy the moon. At night, my mother, she weaves palm fronds together to make fans. And now she's in the marketplace selling her fans to buy oil for our lamps. She's selling the wind to buy the moon.
Ha, 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 ha! Very clever, very clever boy, very clever. And the old man wandered away. Well, that night, the parents came back, and they had their meager supper, and the boy went to bed. And then he heard all this angry words and shouting downstairs. No, 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 you must pay. You must pay today. The boy walked up and said, oh, I know you. You said you'd forgive the debt if I told you the meaning of my riddles. I didn't say anything of the sort. Yes, you did. You promised. You promised that we would owe you nothing if I told you the meaning of my riddles. No, 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 no. Fake news. Fake news. I said nothing of the kind. Well, parents didn't know what to believe. And so finally, what they did was they went to see the magistrate the next day. Ah, I see now. Moneylender, you said you loaned this couple some money.
Yes, sir, yes, sir, and they must pay. They must pay today.
Oh, okay. And young man, you said that if he promised to forgive the debt if you told him the meaning of your riddles.
Yes, sir, that's absolutely true.
Ah, I see. Were there any witnesses to this transaction?
Yes, sir, there was a witness.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Now, bring them forth. Who are they? And maybe they can explain what is going on.
Well, sir, our witness was a fly.
Young man, these are very serious charges. No. Do not fool around. No, please, tell me, where's your witness?
No, it's true. Our witness was a fly. It was a fly that landed on that man's nose.
My nose? No, the fly wasn't on my nose. The fly was in the wall. It was in the wall of your house. It was a... Oh.
Well, the magistrate declared that the couple owed the money lender nothing. The debt had been forgiven. And that moneylender decided that he would have nothing to do with that family, and especially that clever young man, ever again.
That was Alton Takeyama Chung with The Fly. Do you have a favorite riddle? Does the memory of a riddle bring on a memory of the person who told it to you or the book where you read it? Have you ever been stumped by a problem that you needed your wits to solve? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on a show. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed@byu.edu. And what about that riddle from Wendy, our producer? You thought I forgot about it, huh? Well, the riddle is, again, I can bring peace or strife and build a world from just a breath. I am fragile, yet can outlast life, and I am stronger than the fear of death. Who am I? Well, the answer, if you haven't already thought of a good one, is I'm a story. I mean, what kind of riddle are we going to tell on the apple seed, right? I want to thank Debs Newbold and Alton Takeyama Chung for sharing their tales with us today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. While you're waiting for the next Appleseed episode, try Kaboom, another BYU radio podcast. It's filled with audio adventures for everyone in your family to enjoy, wherever you get your podcasts.